Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
This is part number 63 of Liberalism, the New Improved Broad Road to Destruction. Interestingly enough, I left off last week talking about really another event that I wanted people to know about. I had the opportunity to go and speak to a woman who was a survivor of the Jonestown cult. And though I didn't plan it this way, it's interesting to me that, of course, Jim Jones was a liberal so-called Christian. Of course, there's no reason to believe he was actually a Christian, but he was a liberal. And I didn't plan it that way. But of course, as you know, I've been doing this series on liberalism now for quite some time. So I'm still kind of doing that, although at the end of this podcast topic, I will be going back to the ghost of liberalism present and then on to the ghost of liberalism future, where I left off when I began to do my little Christian public service announcements over the last three movies I felt a need to mention to you, as well as now this speaker that I heard recently. If you were with us last week, I mentioned that I went to a local university to hear Laura Johnston Cole, who's the author of The Jonestown Survivor, An Insider's Look, which was written in 2010. And as I said, I assume that she was on the lecture circuit promoting this book because the 40th anniversary of the Jonestown, the Jim Jones mass suicide of the cult in Jonestown, Guyana, took place November 18th, 40 years ago this year. So I listened to this woman for the duration of her talk. I almost didn't make it through it. I'll mention that in a minute. But as I think I mentioned last week, I don't think I did. Oh, before I forget, though, let me back up real quick. I had mentioned last week that one of the so-called saucer cults by the name of the Raelians, that they had originated in Toronto, Canada. Actually, they originated in Canada. I'm not sure the town, the small town, I think, that they came out of, but I think their main headquarters is still in Canada, not necessarily. But like I say, they didn't originate in Toronto. And they also have, I believe they moved their USA enterprises down to Las Vegas. So that'll be interesting. But anyway, getting back to Laura Cole, I made the note that as I was listening to her, I was taking a lot of notes. And, to my way of thinking, that she actually avoided the Kool-Aid the first time around because she was she avoided the Kool-Aid the first time around because she was a purchasing agent. You know, last time I had made mention of the fact that she is still metaphorically drinking the Kool-Aid now because of some of her liberal views. That's what I was trying to say. But she avoided the Kool-Aid that first time around almost 40 years ago because she was a purchasing agent for the cult, and she was in Georgetown, Guyana, when the event was transpiring in Jonestown, Guyana. During her talk, she spoke glowingly of the activist days that were the backdrop for Jim Jones and the People's Temple. She praised the liberal activists, the Black Panthers, and the hippies of that day, even though she admitted to several bad choices in her own personal life related to her lifestyle. Her historical backdrop no doubt played well to the liberal campus crowd who she was speaking to that evening. But her life, to me, was really the epitome of the quote found on the wall of the cult compound after the tragedy. And that quote was, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it." George Santayana, I don't know if that's the proper pronunciation of his name, but a famous philosopher, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And that was on the walls of the compound there in Jonestown at the site of the mass suicide. her praise of the liberal activists of those past days will help to stoke the enthusiasm of idealistic but misguided youth of our own days, as I assume she'll be speaking on many other campuses. That will probably be her main circuit that she'll be speaking on. I was actually tempted to leave during the first half hour of her liberal Kool-Aid-laced propaganda, but I endured it and remained through the whole talk. I remembered a picture that I had seen years ago of Jim Jones with Jimmy Carter's wife, Rosalynn Carter, during a political rally in California. And when Mrs. Cole spoke of Jim Jones catering to the liberal politicians of California, where he had set up shop after moving from Indiana. And it makes sense to me now, of course, as they were doing a photo op, he and Jimmy Carter's, you know, the liberal president's wife. But anyway, don't know if he ever did any other favors for the Carters, which I'll get to, you know, some of the things he did for liberal politicians out there. But anyway, I wouldn't doubt it if he did. It really hit home when I remember recently when I heard that Jimmy Carter had said about Jesus that it's not necessary to believe in Christ's resurrection to be a Christian. In fact, this was short time after Easter, as I recall. I would say spoken like a true, or should I say fake, Christian liberal leader. Of course, Jimmy Carter was always a liberal, even though he spoke much of being born again, you know, really made that term popular in a sense. But liberals, you know, theological liberals, so-called Christian liberals, they always redefine biblical terms to change what God clearly said and meant. Jimmy Carter, of course, also supports gay marriage and Israel's enemies. So what else should we expect? Of course, and I don't know what else he also supports as a liberal, but it's not all about him. I just wanted to draw attention to that event recently that he had made that statement about, you know, that lie, really, about the resurrection. And so the George Santayana quote comes back to mind to me. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. People who continue to follow liberal theology will end up in a bad place. Whether it's in a mass suicide in Guyana, of course, I don't wish to imply, but they'll end up in a bad place, actually a worse place spiritually, if they've never truly been born again. But anyway, she said that, I missed my quote, neither Jimmy Carter nor Mrs. Cole seems to have learned the lessons of the past. Now, she said that Jim Jones connected with politicians, liberals, and that he was often asked to help fill the arenas where they were speaking to make these politicians look more popular. And so Jim Jones would bring buses full of his cult followers to these venues, which I might add is a tactic still popular with many of the liberal politicians these days. Thus, the photo op with Rosalynn Carter. You know, that he was there with. Again, I don't know the context of that, but very possibly he was bringing his followers out to promote other Democrats, other liberal politicians of the area. Now, I can't recommend her book, as I think her credibility is somewhat suspect. Of course, I haven't read the book either. I've only heard her speak. But I think her credibility is somewhat suspect, perhaps because she is somewhat in denial about some of the facts of this event. She claims to promote critical thinking to combat cultism, and yet she still promotes a social gospel. She talks about the importance of reflection, which she didn't exercise then but does now. You know, my concern is that her reflection may be more along the lines of contemplative spirituality and passive thinking. You know, it's hard to say. She claimed to be a Quaker. And again, I'm not an expert on Quakerism. I had a friend at Bible college who was a Quaker, and he seemed to be, a good thinker. But I'm not sure whether or not, you know, what her tie to Quakerism is. I know that there is a certain aspect of mysticism in the Quaker point of view. But anyway, it's hard to say, as I say. But she does not seem to me to be a critical thinker. And I'll give you examples, you know, actually concerning her credibility. A few examples from the Q&A at a question and answer session should suffice. She didn't say that Jim Jones was violent, but that he had others handle punishment, or he had others handle the punishment that needed to be done. Now, this may be partly true, but I'd like to read from page 83 of a book called The New Believers, which is basically a book about cults, by David Barrett. Concerning the People's Temple, it says, his faked healings and clairvoyance, the humiliations and beatings to which he subjected those of his followers who displeased him, and his sexual relations with some of his members all illustrate this need to control. So there's no doubt that he was into control. In fact, I have this theory that every cult leader is a control freak. I mean, you know, duh, right? But, you know, not that everybody who is a control freak will end up being a cult leader, but it doesn't speak well for people who are control freaks, that's for sure. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting observation. He talked about the humiliations and beatings to which he subjected those. Again, I'm not sure how much credibility to give Mrs. Cole, when she says that he himself wasn't involved. I'll leave it at that. But next point, she seemed to refute the idea that Jones prepared his followers through what you might call Armageddon-type drills. She didn't think Jones was conditioning his followers to drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak, down the road with these Armageddon drills. But again, let me go to page 84 of the same book I just read from. It says, Jones had rehearsed the mass suicide with his followers. He said that it was better that the community die together rather than be split up, and that their mass death would vividly demonstrate to the world the evil nature of the U.S. government. Well, you know, I've heard and read and seen in movie depictions, many people have said the same thing, that he was rehearsing for a mass suicide, and he was using techniques to prepare his followers in the event that it was necessary to do so. I remember this woman saying that she thought that these dramas were really not credible. Well, maybe they weren't to her, but I think they were obviously credible to some of the followers, and in fact, they acted upon, for various reasons, this mass suicide. I would also say that I think it's her that's really not very credible, rather than these dramas she spoke of. Anyway, she said she's part, for an example, and I might want to read, well, I'll just wait on this, but speaking of critical thinking, she said that she's part of the ACLU, which, you know, if you're from a conservative point of view, you would think that that group is anything but critical thinking, or particularly critical Christian thinking, since she claims to be a Quaker. And also that she was 5 years ago part of the Occupy movement. So much for critical thinking, I think. She also claims that she may not have heard Jim Jones's broadcasted propaganda at Jonestown, you know, what he broadcasted over the speakers in the fields while they were working at such things, sort of like the Marxists in Russia did in various aspects. But because she was out in the field. Now, when she says out in the field, I don't know if she meant because she was a procuring agent for the cult and was away from the headquarters there often, or if she meant literally out in the field, beyond the reaches of the broadcast of the speakers, etc. But how strange, you know, considering that there was propaganda going on all the time, whether it be through broadcasted through speakers or not. I would say she was more, maybe she was more out to lunch than out in the field. And again, I guess those are cheap shots. But you know, it bothers me that she's influencing a whole new generation of young people with her liberal ideas. She doesn't seem to have learned, as I said before, from that philosopher's quote. And so I don't feel bad to say that maybe a little more out to lunch than out in the field. But she seems to be doing, or I made this comment as well. I think she seems more likely to have been down by the river denial than out in the field, if you know what I mean. I just think she was in denial about some of the things that are clear, and that should be more clear as I continue to to mention some of the other things that that popped up in my to me that seemed very interesting. It says that she used. No, wait a minute. Right. She said people there could not reflect. And I say, and my thoughts are, yeah, maybe because they were getting a constant flow of propaganda. You know, yeah, they couldn't reflect, which, of course, she says she can now. And that's to help, you know, guard you against cultism. Anyway, she said that Jim Jones used religion to make activists and quoted from Matthew 25, which is, of course, the main text that social gospel people, liberals always like to quote from out of context. And yet it sounds like she retains, and I'm repeating myself, it sounds like she retains the liberal social gospel now, even though she claimed that Jim Jones was using religion to make activists. It seems to me that she's still promoting this bad activism, I should say. For example, the Occupy movement, praising past Marxist activists, etc., which she did, of course, throughout the talk, particularly in the beginning, which almost prompted me to leave. Now, during the Q&A, I also I asked her about Father Divine, because I had remember hearing about his influence on Jim Jones. Some of you may have never heard of Father Divine, and I won't go into a great detail about him. But anyway, I asked her if Father Divine was a mentor to Jim Jones, which basically is what I had heard. And, you know, Father Divine himself was a cult leader, just so you know. He believed and claimed to be God, or at least he claimed to be. I don't know if he really believed it, but you know, he may have convinced himself. Jones may have convinced himself, but they certainly claimed to be God. And he took advantage of his followers in the same way that Jim Jones did. Now, and the reason that stuck out in my mind is I had first read of the Father and Divine movement years ago in Kingdom of the Cults by Walter Martin. In fact, back in the, I guess his 1965 copy, which I didn't get saved till 73, but it was an older copy, which, you know, if you have an older copy, because I don't know in the revised copy if they, you know, I don't know how many followers Father Divine would still have. I'm sure he's passed on. So it may not be in revised copies of the Kingdom of the Cults, but if you have an older copy, you can read all about Father Divine. And I won't spend a whole lot of time just to say that I knew he was bad news. But anyway, she said that Jim Jones and his group visited Father Divine and his group, but she spoke highly of Father Divine and his racially integrated group. There's that Kool-Aid kicking in again. She spoke highly of them, but she said that Jim Jones actually had stolen sheep from Father Divine, but had nothing but praise for this other false god, who I understand gave Jim Jones some of his ideas. Like I say, no doubt in my mind, that's easy to find out for yourself. Walter Martin's not the only person that's written about him. In fact, I have another source here that I probably won't have time to quote from it, but I'll at least mention the source. It's easy to document that Father Divine was anything other than a man of God. And in Kingdom of the Cults and other sources. Of course, she also extolled the virtues of Huey Newton and the Black Panthers, as I mentioned earlier. Please pass more Kool-Aid, I noted to myself. please pass more Kool-Aid, please. Anyway, I think her critical thinking is on the blink. And I think she was right about some of the things she said. Of course, you know, having been a part of the cult, she would have to know a few things and get a few things right. But she did make this statement. She said that Jim Jones was not a man of God who shared the gospel, not what we would think of as a good Christian person. Well, duh, do you think? And I guess she uses those terms of sharing the gospel and being a good Christian because, you know, she claimed to be in the group, the Quaker group that I had mentioned. But there again, you have to be aware of redefined theological terms and what she thinks of, what's the true gospel to her is no doubt the social gospel and not the true biblical gospel, which saves a man's soul, etc. Anyway, she said Jim Jones was not a real revolutionary, but a murderer. You know, bingo. I agree with that. She got that right. Now, Jim Jones was totally into integration, a trait that she seems to think made Father Divine, for no other reason, a good guy. Despite all the facts to the contrary about Father Divine. She said Jim Jones was a Methodist, an Assembly of God, and an ordained disciple of Christ pastor. And of course, that's a fact that can be confirmed by this book, the Illustrated Encyclopedia of Active New Religion, Sects, and Cults by Benjamin Bate Halahim. And it's probably not somebody you're real familiar with, but anyway, just some notes here. It says that the People's Temple Christian Disciples Church, popularly known as People's Temple, this Christian group was one of the most notorious religious movements of recent history, becoming a subject of worldwide horror when more than 900 members committed suicide. Founded in Indiana as the Community National Church by Jim Jones, it started as a typical low-class congregation. Jones practiced faith healing, but he became an ordained minister of the Disciples of Christ in 1965. And, of course, once again, this shows where liberalism can take you. I have mentioned in the past, I brought up Robert Funk, who was one of possibly the sole founder of the Jesus Seminar, extremely liberal group of so-called scholars, liberal scholars. And Robert Funk was associated with the Disciples of Christ. He attended their seminary in Indianapolis and was possibly a Disciple of Christ member himself. I'm not 100% sure of that, but he went to their schools, was influenced by their seminaries, which are also very liberal. Also, as you may not know, and I think I may have mentioned before, the famed psychic Edgar Cayce was a member of the Disciple of Christ Church. So there's a couple of famous people, Jim Jones, Edgar Cayce, and Robert Funk, all good Disciples of Christ. Anyway, needless to say, it's an extremely liberal denomination. Now, shortly after I heard Mrs. Cole, my wife showed me a review of another book that was promoted in USA Today recently. It's called The Road to Jonestown by Jeff Guillen. In the review entitled, How Jim Jones Led Disciples to Drink the Kool-Aid. Let's see, I still have some time. In this article, it says, to this day, when we reference any blind faith drinking of the Kool-Aid, we're talking Jonestown, even though in some ultimate irony, the fallen didn't ingest poison Kool-Aid, but the barely flavored cyanide was more than enough. A young Indiana preacher whose fiery mixture of gospel and Marxism reached a racially integrated congregation in the 50s. His progressivism won notice and his ambition sought the horizon. Of course, you've heard me speak of progressive Christianity and red letter Christians, social gospel, etc. Jones was a part of that. Doesn't mean that everyone who believes that, like I said before, will end up in mass suicide, but liberalism will take you to places you really don't want to go. Jones took their money, their hopes, and led them like some Bay Area Elvis. Wasn't long before he was adrift in drugs and extramarital sex with the women he preached to. Unapologetic, unpredictable, performing fake faith healings and promising salvation. The man of God who might have risen to West Coast political leadership fell into a dark, paranoid place, ranting of imminent nuclear war and against the CIA and FBI. He moved his cult to Guyana, and he exhorted his people when he was telling them to commit suicide, forcing many of them to commit suicide. He said, this is not the way for people who are socialists or communists to die. These hysterical people who really didn't want to die or see their children die. Anyway, former San Francisco mayor Willie Brown, a strong, extreme liberal, a Democrat, he once introduced Jones as an American Gandhi. Of course, Jim Wallace of Sojourners Magazine is all enthralled with Gandhi, and you can get a free poster if you subscribe to his liberal rag. But anyway, Willie Brown introduced Jones as an American Gandhi. So let me move on. I still have a few minutes left. I can't recommend that book, of course, either, since I haven't read it. I would, off the top of my head, I would probably recommend that book more than the other, because I think the other lady, as I say, is in denial about some things and is not totally credible. In closing, often John Q. Public, or even John Q. Christian Public, has the erroneous idea that what makes a cult a real cult is that it is some kind of an apocalyptic suicide group like Jonestown's People's Temple or David Koresh's Waco group. The reality is that a cult could be the nice little old lady down the street that goes to the Christian Scientist cult group, or that clean-cut duo of bike-riding dudes from the LDS Church with the white tie, with the white shirts and ties. Many don't really know what a cult really is. By way of review from past podcasts, I want to share two of the most important points that I have gleaned from Walter Martin's classic Kingdom of the Cults. Of course, there's a lot of good things to glean from there, and I don't know if I'll have time to get through these. I have shared these before, but two chapters, really, if you have the book, or you ought to get a hold of the book if you don't. Chapter 2 and Chapter 17 discuss Chapter 2, Scaling the Language Barrier, and Chapter 17, The Jesus of the Cults. Chapter 2, because I have talked in the past at length about that, I'll just touch a little bit here. It says that when Dr. Bernard Ram was evaluating the theological system of Paul Tillich, the leading theological luminary of our day, charges that Tillich has so radically redefined standard theological terms that the effect upon Christian theology is nothing short of cataclysmic. Such biblical notions of sin, guilt, damnation, justification, regeneration, etc., all come out retranslated into a language that is foreign to the meaning of these concepts in the scripture themselves. So this radical redefinition, it's therefore possible for the modern theologians to use the terminology of the Bible and historic theology, but in an entirely different sense from that intended by the writers of scripture. That's what the cults always do, and that's what the liberals do that claim to be Christians. And you'll see that often. Now, the other chapter, 17, The Jesus of the Cults, basically, Walter, in this chapter, is looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and it looks like I will have time to finish. In his 2 Corinthians epistle, Paul penned one of the most solemn warnings recorded anywhere in the Bible. He was afraid, he said, that if, and this was Paul talking, of course, he said that if someone should come to Corinth preaching another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel, that the Corinthians might well be swept along with it to the sterilization of their Christian life and witness for Christ. Paul went on to underscore this point by drawing a deadly parallel between true Christianity and pseudo-Christianity that he likened to a carefully designed copy of the original revelation of God in Christ. After revealing the existence of a counterfeit Jesus, Holy Spirit, and gospel, all three counterfeits, Paul completed the parallel by showing that there are also counterfeit apostles, counterfeit disciples or workers who transform themselves in appearance and demeanor to appear as ministers of Christ, but in reality, Paul states, they are representatives of Satan, 2 Corinthians 11:13. He further informs us that this is not to be considered fantastic, unbelievable, and incredible, for Satan himself is often manifested as an angel of light. So we are not to be surprised when his ministers emulate their master and disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 11:14 and 15. And so I think it would be appropriate to close, I'm a little bit over, with the quote again from George Santayana, where he said, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it." God bless you all.